World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Man, crazy, crazy times, crazy, crazy world. Thanks for joining us. And man, oh man, oh man. I was saying before we went live here in the pre-show that one of the rules for radicals, one of their techniques, if you read Rules for Radicals, is to make your opponents live up to their own standards. And we certainly have to be smart enough to look around with what's going on with Maduro and Trump and understand that they're certainly doing the best they can to do that, aren't they? Huh? And Sean said, well, you guys are Christians. You can't do that. Yeah, but you guys are doing. Yeah, but we're not Christians. You get it, right? And we have to be really, really careful with tyranny because we don't want to prove tyranny just because it's our side doing it. Our team's doing the tyranny. It's good. We have to be really, really careful with that. And so that's why I was kind of maybe the providence of God, actually, that about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I scheduled, actually, they contacted me, Sheriff Richard Mack, I forget what the title is, the Constitutional Sheriff's. Funny that we would have him already scheduled. He got up early in the morning. He's clear out someplace out west where the sun isn't even shining yet. And he got up to join us here this morning. But this will be a really, really good one as far as law enforcement. What is the law? How do you, all that kind of stuff. So sit back. We got a lot to chew on. It's believe it. Can you believe this? It's the 2026. Remember the song in the year 2525, and we're almost it's creeping up upon us. So we'll have a good free for all here this morning, and we welcome Sheriff Mac. What time is it out there, Sheriff?
Just after 5 o'clock.
There's that's a stud right there. Going to get up at 5 o'clock to do us, and we all give him the right to take a nap afterwards if he wants to. Let me get you, Sheriff, if I could. Let me get you to weigh in on this whole thing right now, because this seems to be a lot of confusion that's going on in America. From your perspective, Sheriff, did the president violate the law? Did he break the law, Sheriff, going down and arrest that guy?
No, he did not. And first of all, I've got a very interesting perspective, I believe, on the whole thing. First of all, I spent 2 years in Latin America. I lived a year in Guatemala and a year in El Salvador, or I'll say that correctly. Viví un año en Guatemala y un año en El Salvador.
And, Taco Bell, Arita, yeah. Gotcha.
Well, and my degree in college was Latin American Studies.
Wow, didn't know
and
that.
So actually, I applied to be the ambassador to El Salvador during the transition, and I put in an application on the Trump transition team website. They never responded, but I think I would have been an excellent one. Wow. With my law enforcement background, with my Christian background, and with my Latin American experience and education, I think I would have been a good fit for it.
Let me stop you right there, Sheriff, because we have people, believe it or not, who are watching this show, who are part of this show, who have some deep connections. So those of you out there who just heard what Sheriff said, maybe he would be advantageous to the Trump administration right now.
I would be proud to do that. I would love to do that. And I would love to be an ambassador any place, but I would love to help with Trump. I think I could be an excellent consultant to him when it comes to Latin American issues. But first of all, let's look at that question. Did President Donald Trump violate the law? First, you have to look at what he is doing, and then you have to also look at the Constitution. If you're going to tell me he broke the law, then you've got to look at the Constitution and tell me where he did that. And I've got my little pocket Constitution right here, and we're going to look at that, okay? But first and foremost, what was the good? What was the benefit? What was he doing in reality? First of all, we know that secret combinations, secret societies are infiltrating the world, and they want to control the world. And now you have a man who is a murderous human trafficker, drug trafficker. You don't need to look at him as a president. You need to look at him as an oppressor of the people, a dictator who has lied, who has tortured his own people, has murdered his own people, put his own people in prison if they don't do what they're told.
So, Sheriff, the truth is, we know this about he's not the elected leader. He got voted out and wouldn't leave. Isn't that true, Sheriff?
That is true. That is true. But regardless of how he has controlled his own position, he had the military behind him. If people don't do what they're told, they were taken out. So, of course, people start doing what they're told. Then you have this lady, and I can't remember her name, but she's the opposition lady, and she's very powerful. She got the Nobel Peace Prize, very deserved. I absolutely love her. And she's had to be in hiding. And when she does interviews, nobody knows where she is. And so this is horrible that's happening. Look at the 400,000 people in Florida that are Venezuelan. And they are thrilled and so happy and celebrating that this man was finally removed. Folks, we owe that to the world. As a Christian people, we owe that to the world. Look at Somalia and the people that are there, the Christians being murdered over and over, and the Democrats refuse to say it even is happening. And President Trump is trying to stop that. We all have an obligation to protect the lives and freedom of all people. And we want this to be a peaceful world. And you can't do that and turn your back on all the people that are in prison and being tortured, and the human traffickers and the sexual exploitation of children. What are we supposed to do? Just sit there and watch? And Trump was absolutely correct, Coach, when he said, I did not inform Congress because I don't trust them to keep it secret. Yeah, they would have come out. They would have warned him. And there's so many of them. This Trump derangement syndrome, Coach, just absolutely floors me that they completely oppose him, even when it benefits the American people and even when it benefits them.
So somebody said, I'm looking at the chat over here. Somebody said in the chat, ask a really good question. Is it immoral to violate an immoral law? That's really what it comes down to, right? An immoral law is no law at all, is it, Sheriff?
That is absolutely correct.
Many of my friends have gone to jail for trying to rescue unborn children outside of abortion clinics, right? Now, the government may call that violation of the law, but it's not. It's violation of a higher law, right? And when we get confused, they throw Christ out, throw God out of government, then the government becomes God. And that's kind of where we are, isn't it, Sheriff? And so when we begin to stand up and push back, then they try to make us live under our own moral rules. You guys are rule followers now. Come on, you got to. And that's kind of how we got in this mess.
I told you we would look in the Constitution. So let's take a look. Article 4, Section 4 of the United States Constitution.
We'll get it up on the screen there. Hang on with us, Sheriff.
Article 4, Section 4.
It starts with
the United States shall. Okay, there it is. Perfect. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. And we need to wait for a minute there. You mean we're not a democracy? We're supposed to be a republic? Let's not forget the neighbor lady of Ben Franklin, who asked him after the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia, what form of government did you leave us, Dr. Franklin? And he said, a republic, if you can keep it, ma'am. which shows the responsibility we have as the people who are in charge of this government, that we must be, as Jefferson warned us, that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. And folks, that's our job, and we have failed at that. And we have gone to sleep, and we have trusted government, and they said never trust government. Always keep their feet to the fire, and always watch them. And I might just mention one word to show the problem there: Minnesota. Okay, enough said there.
We've been talking. We've been talking about that a lot, Sheriff Hero. We've been talking about the whole situation. Yep.
Well, it's happening in Ohio. It is happening in Washington State.
Yep.
But so, folks, we're supposed to be a republic, not a democracy. There's a huge difference there. And shall protect, the federal government shall protect them against invasion.
Wow.
Yeah. So those people that are calling Trump a king because he's trying to protect the United States of America from the invasion that Biden and his administration promoted and actually caused, and they didn't just aid and abet. They brought these people here. And why did the Democrat Party want to bring all of these millions and millions of illegal aliens into America? What are they trying to do? They're trying to get them registered to vote. They're getting them driver's licenses so it's easier to vote. This happened for one reason and one reason only, so that they could stack the deck politically with the voter lists in all across the country, so that they would have a monopoly on political power. That's what they wanted all along. They are the ones that are trying to be king of America. They want the Democrat Party to be in full control, so they'll have their abortion and their entitlements and their socialism and their communism. That is what they want, and that is what they're trying to do. And yes, that is treason.
So, Sheriff, we also have to involve in here the Monroe Doctrine. And the
Monroe Doctrine is
basically what? Monroe Doctrine is to keep all foreign influences out of the Western Hemisphere, right? Is that not what it was, Sheriff? And that's
pretty much it. And somebody could say, well, maybe the Monroe Doctrine is not constitutional. Well, maybe, maybe not. That's debatable. Okay, but what is not debatable is the law they keep saying supposedly that Trump is breaking. Let's look at one other thing. Article 1, Section 8, United States Constitution.
Article 1, Section 8. Let our crack crew get on that. Article 1,
yep,
Section 8.
Yep.
All right, there you go.
Okay, and I've got to find the right paragraph, the right clause.
All right, that's right.
Okay. Okay, I'm still looking. I'm still looking.
That's all right. We're doing okay here, brother. We're doing okay, right? Again, folks, listen.
Okay, there it is. Okay, it's to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas.
Wow, where's that, Sheriff? A war
okay,
power.
Article 1, Section 8. It's right after to constitute tribunals.
Clause 10, to divine and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations.
There you go.
So he has the right to go down there and blow up those narco ships then, right?
Well, he sure does. And he has a right to
It's his duty. He's negligent if he doesn't.
Correct. That's right. But is he required, if he's using wars of implement, or implements of war, that he has to check with Congress? Yes, he does have to do that. When, and then if you go back to Article 4, Section 4, if you go back to that one, it kind of explains when he does and when he doesn't have to do that. Okay, so Article 4 again, Article 4, Section 4, and where we said before, and shall protect each of them from invasion, and on application of the legislature of the executive, when the legislature cannot be convened against domestic violence. So yes, if Portland, if Los Angeles, if Chicago, if New York City, all of them refuse to protect their communities from domestic violence, if they refuse to protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then I'm sorry, the president has an obligation to step in.
Folks, it says right here, hang on a second, Sheriff, for those who just maybe listening, we have up on the screen Article 4 of the Constitution, Article 4, United
Section
States.
Four.
The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. Sheriff, that's very clear, brother. That is very clear.
Pretty clear.
Huh?
Pretty clear.
And an application of legislature.
You have to understand, we know where those drugs are coming from Venezuela. We know where they're coming from Colombia. It's really sad. This is an indictment against the American people here, because America, United States of America, is about 4% of the world's population. Yet we use 60% of the world's illicit drugs.
Hmm.
So, folks, don't give me this baloney about King. We have a very serious drug problem in this country, and the people that are bringing in fentanyl and killing over 100,000 people a year with that dastardly drug, we have an obligation to try to stop that.
We shall
what
protect
we have known over the past
against, protect them against
ahead.
Invasion, right, Sheriff? Against invasion.
Of course, it is an invasion. It has been for a long time. And so, folks, let's get real here. The United States has tried to stop the drug proliferation, and we've not done a very good job. Okay, we spend all these billions, over $100 billion a year, to fight a drug war. And what have we really accomplished? We have never gone to the root of the problem. One, that America is funding this, and the drug usage that we have here is way out of line, way out of control. But what do we know? We will not arrest away the drug problem inside our country. How about if we attack? How many people have said this over the years? I heard this in my 20 years in law enforcement. Why don't we go down to Latin America and get rid of the cocaine fields? Why don't we go down there and stop it at its core? And we've never tried that. No one has ever done it, except now we have a president with real leadership who means what he says and says what he means. And he's taken this cocaine and drug problem by the bull's horn, and he's doing something about it. And what do you get from the Democrats and the crazy leftists? More complaints, more crying.
Sheriff, let me call a timeout here. We've been at this for 18 minutes, and maybe some of the people are tuning in and they're saying, who is this guy? Who is this guy? So, Sheriff, let's take a few minutes and give us a little bit of your background, starting Constitutional Sheriffs of America and yada, yada, how much of our law enforcement is not enforcing the Constitution. Just take a few minutes, Sheriff, and tell us how you became who you are.
Well, you said it. You nailed it right there, Coach. And that is, I saw in law enforcement and in government when I was a cop, I compared the Constitution to what I saw in the courts and in the legislatures and in the executive branch, and that's police. We are the executors of the law. And I was so disenchanted with it. I said, why don't we follow the Constitution? So I moved home to Arizona in 1988, and I ran for sheriff in my hometown. I was miraculously elected. I hadn't lived there for 12 years. And then in 1992, I was reelected. And in 1993, just after I was sheriff 5 years, I noticed something on TV, Bill Clinton signing the Brady Bill into law. And for some reason, I don't even remember to this day, he's left-handed and he used 13 pens. I don't know why he used 13 pens. Maybe it was some satanic thing. I don't know. But he did. And I was laughing at him when he said this. The Brady Bill would make America so safe that even our nation's police won't need to carry guns anymore. I know. So I laughed. But then I saw on January 21st, 1994, three agents of the BATF came to our Arizona Association of Sheriffs meeting, and they handed us a document detailing our orders, our marching orders, as to what we had to do to enforce the Brady Bill for the federal government. And if we failed to comply, we were subject to a year in prison and a $10,000 fine or both. And I said, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. All the other sheriffs acquiesced, went along with them, and I filed lawsuit against the federal government, against the Clinton administration. Coach, I sued the Clintons and beat them at the U.S. Supreme Court and lived to tell about it. Now, how's that for a miracle?
That is something.
And
right?
So I lost my third election, and that was in 1996. So my last day was January 1st, 1997. So I haven't been sheriff for 29 years now. But I've written 8 books since then. I've spoken in churches and all sorts of places all across this country. I've been to all 50 states. There's only 2 states where I haven't done constitutional training, and that's Vermont and Rhode Island. I hope to get those on the list. But I've been to all the states. I've been so busy with this, and my organization is called the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and we really focus on all peace officers and sheriffs being constitutional and keeping their oath.
So that's what it is.
And you know what? If your producer can play that little one, this is only 85 seconds. That one right there with me in the dark.
Yep.
If you can play that and have everybody hear that, that's really worth it. So,
Sheriff, again, you're not some fly by night guy. You've been doing this a while, right, brother?
You've been blowing
the horn for quite a while, saying that we have got to bring local control back to our communities, right?
Yeah, the best way to take back America is all the people working with their sheriff, having a relationship with them, making sure that your county, your community, returns to the basic godly principles upon which America was founded. The reason we're so divided, the reason there's so much hate and vitriol in this country, is because we have strayed way off the path established by God Almighty through the founding fathers.
Go ahead
and play. If we continue that, America is dead.
Let's play this.
Police academies all across this country never address the oath of office. Yet every single cop has to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. Why don't we examine what the role of law enforcement, of sheriffs, of chiefs of police, what is our role in the protection of the American Republic, of our constitutional republic? The ultimate goal of all three branches of government, and we're the executive branch, we're the executors of the law, is to protect liberty. And if we have to do that against the FBI or the IRS or the EPA or the CDC or the USDA, then that's our job. Sheriffs, let's do our duty and protect the people from all enemies, both foreign and domestic, as we've promised to do, and save our country. We have the power. If the sheriffs of this country will just unite and be unified in keeping their oath of office and defending the American people against oppression and abuse of government, we could take back our country tomorrow.
Sheriff, if I could, real quickly, I have several friends, when we go back to that whole J6 fiasco, I have several friends who were arrested by the FBI, whatever, just showed up at their house and were arrested. Sheriff, technically, they can't come and do that arrest without the approval of the local sheriff. Is that correct?
Well, he doesn't necessarily have to approve everything, but it's twofold. First of all, that's a double-edged answer. The FBI or federal law enforcement have some jurisdiction nationwide, but it's very limited. Let's go over it real quickly, Coach. There's 5 law enforcement powers delegated in the Constitution, delegated by the states. The states form the federal government, not the other way around. People need to remember that historical fact. And we delegated 5 law enforcement powers to them. And this is where the federal government really has a problem, because they've stolen a lot more. Okay, these are the delegated powers per the Constitution from the states when we formed the new federal government. 1, treason. Treason is a federal offense, and it's also a capital offense in most cases. 2, counterfeiting. 3, as we just studied, felonies committed on the high seas. 4, violations of treaties. Like if we have a treaty with Canada and some citizen of America, USA, goes into Canada, violates those treaties, that's a federal offense. Okay, that's not done very often, but it does happen. 5, just what we read in Article 4, Section 4, protect our borders from invasion. That is a law enforcement duty. Okay, those are the only 5 they get, and they don't get to expand. The 10th Amendment says the powers not delegated to them remain with the people or the states. So they don't get to, the federal government doesn't get to make itself bigger. And we need to remember that. And that's one of the things we've got to do is push back on that. And so here we are. The states have got to wake up, and we, the people, have got to wake up. And actually we have an offer to all of you to how to do that. Okay. Go to our website. You've seen our website, cspoa.org. And join our posse, our CSPOA posse. Is there a charge? Yeah, there's a whopping $11 a month. Okay. and we need thousands to do that so that 1, we stay funded, and 2, you stay educated. And we have a webinar every Wednesday where we train you how to work with your sheriff and how to respond with him and help him form a posse that you're a member of. Now, am I saying for you to become a patrol officer for the sheriff's office? No. If you want to go to the academy and do that, fine. We want each sheriff to have available to him a Minuteman posse, a Minuteman organization of citizens who can respond and help him keep the peace and help the community in time of disasters, natural disasters, or whatever it is. And we need to be able to help him and have his back whenever he needs us. And that's what I'm talking about. And that is up to the sheriff. How much he trains you and how much time you spend is up to you. I'm not telling you to dedicate your life and all your waking moments to the posse. I'm telling you a couple hours a week would probably be sufficient. But we've got to do it. We've got to have a relationship with him because he is the ultimate law enforcement power in your community. Do you want him on the side of liberty? Do you want him on your side? Do you want him on God's side? That is up to you.
Folks, I'm going to go ahead and open it up, let you come in here a little bit. Sheriff, what's the hardest job? What's the most difficult thing about convincing local sheriffs to be part of this? What's the most difficult thing you face?
To be what? Oh, to be part of what we're doing?
Yes.
The brainwashing they've already had for the last, you know, some of them have been in law enforcement 30, 40, 50 years, and they've been brainwashed that the only, you know, only thing we got to do is kick in doors and write all these speeding tickets and traffic tickets and go after all the druggies. And then thank God I can go home at night and rest in peace. That's not our job. Is it part of the job? It can be. Our job is mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. All government is instituted among men to do what? Protect life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I might ask you, Coach, how are we doing on 1? How are we doing in protecting life in this country? Wow. We're doing horrible.
That's right.
And folks, I don't believe any of us should be paying taxes in this federal government until we get what Donald Trump and Mike Johnson have both said they would do. And I love what Trump has done the first year. Okay. He hasn't even been in a year yet until January 20th. And we still need to be patient. But it is time now for us to defund Planned Parenthood and protect life in this country.
So, Sheriff, if you would say, and I've said this for years, excuse me, they're murdering people. They're murdering little citizens in those Planned Parenthood and those abortion mills, and which the sheriff has the authority to go shut those down, does he not, Sheriff?
Yes, he does. And look, what did I just say in that video? If we, the sheriffs, were united in doing this, there'd be no stopping it. And sheriffs have a big leg to stand on that because they can quote the law in almost every state. If you run over a lady and she's pregnant, That's two murders. That's two deaths you caused. That's manslaughter for two people. And most criminal codes have that. Then how is it that the mother of that child or a doctor can turn right around and kill that baby? That, folks, this is so crazy that we've allowed our society to go that far. But it's even worse, Coach. Planned Parenthood takes the money that we send them and the donations, private donations. So they're getting billions of dollars every year. They get $800 million a year from taxpayers that we're forced. We're forced to do that. And that should never happen, ever in a free society. And then they turn around and funnel donations back to the top Democrat murdering politicians. Mm-hmm. And so they continue to funnel our money in this big circle round and around. And that's how they're able to perpetuate this.
Okay.
Folks, awesome. we have an absolute moral obligation to protect life at all stages. Amen. And we have failed at that miserably. And on the to-do list that I have for President Trump, that's number one. Okay, you've secured the borders. You've done a great job at doing what you've been doing. But you've even mentioned this, so has Mike Johnson and President Trump. It is time to defund Planned Parenthood.
So
we're not going to stop the private donations. We're talking about forced tax dollars to Planned Parenthood.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And see, we've superimposed those. We've made liberty above life. We've made pursuit of happiness above life, right? I can kill somebody because it's going to mess up my life. And it's convoluted. The courts have lost control of it. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, Sheriff, look, we got to do some business here. Johnny wants to come in here. Hang on, Johnny. Anybody else lined up? Sheriff, help us understand how they support what it is that you're doing. Right now we have, you already said $11 a month, yada, yada, yada. Beyond that, Sheriff, how can we notify our local sheriff? How can we bring pressure on our local sheriff to become a constitutional sheriff?
Well, see, that's where you really come in. And folks, you want your organization, you want your group to invite him to your neighborhood meeting, invite him to your church, have him come speak. And then the question answer thing, the first question you ask the sheriff. Oh, and by the way, let's not pass over this thing about you becoming a member. Okay. So it's right on the front page of our website. Become a member of the CSPOA posse. Because this is what we're handing you on a silver platter, is a way to join the holy cause of liberty and be part of the solution that's both peaceful and effective. Then if you just want to do this, take one of your kids with you, take your neighbor with you, take your best friend with you, two or three of you go and to the sheriff's office and set an appointment to meet with the sheriff. And you drop cookies by, maybe right then you say, I want to leave these for the dispatchers and put this in the break room or the briefing room and let them know that you're nice and you're tactful. And then you meet with the sheriff and the first thing out of your mouth is, are you a constitutional sheriff? We want to know where you line up on keeping your oath of office to uphold and defend the Constitution. And if he kind of, you know, oh, well, I don't get into that. That's that Sheriff Matt crazy guy, you know, and he's a racist and he's a bigot and he's a white supremacist. Don't buy into any of that, folks, because I am not any of those. That's what the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL and other national publications have called me. There is no truth to it whatsoever. I want all of you to understand that. The enemies to America and of ours and yours have labeled me that because they want to destroy the work that we're doing.
Because, Sheriff, the truth of the matter is, excuse me, most of the sheriffs in America are protecting the government, not the people. And the job of the sheriff is to protect the people from the overreaching arm of the government. Would that be true, Sheriff?
That's absolutely correct, and that's why we formed this, because we have to do this. And the best place to do it is at the grassroots level. We take back America county by county. And the sheriff works for you. He is elected by, for, and of the people. You appoint him, no one else. And now we're having a movement across the country, especially in Washington State. And if you'll see on our website there on the front page, we're having a major rally and educational press conference in Washington State. And where is it? Yeah, right there. General Flynn, Save Our Sheriff's Rally in Washington State. You're all welcome to be there. Anybody in Oregon, anybody in Idaho, anybody in Washington State, anybody in Northern California, come to the meeting. Come to this. You're going to see an amazing, amazing truth while we're there.
Let's get one of these going this Friday.
Let's get one of these going.
Let's get one of these going in Ohio.
Yes, we want to. Yes, absolutely. And so, yes, we'll come to you. And we need this. So General Flynn is our keynote speaker. He and I are headlining this whole thing. But we're going to have a press conference. We want the woke media from Washington State to come to this experienced church. A pastor is opening up his church, risking all the protests and everything else. And he's got the guts to do this. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to have the intestinal fortitude, folks, to make this happen. And so we still need donations for this event, by the way. So, folks, whatever you can do, go to this meeting. You know, we have somebody coming in from Pennsylvania coming to this thing. We have a sheriff coming in from North Dakota. And so we've got lots of support for this.
That's this
but
Friday.
But it's not
Jeff.
Nearly enough.
That's this Friday, right?
It's this Friday. Yeah, the 9th. Yes.
Let me open it up here a little bit, Sheriff, and see what the little people out here think. Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, good morning, Sheriff. Thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. What's so frustrating is it's the same old broken record all the time in this country. And I want to go off the road a little bit and talk about our representatives and greasing the palms. And that's where all the corruption begins. These people are all paid off. How are we supposed to cleanse the system so we do get justice, so we do get law, so that we stop using our Constitution as a doormat where it's being wiped their feet on? Yeah. It's so frustrating because nobody's accountable. How do we make them accountable?
This is where the sheriff and his posse come in. You'll remember back about 15 years ago, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, the sheriff of Maricopa County, Arizona, the fourth largest sheriff's office in the country, did an investigation with his posse. He had a detective on his posse. His name was Zulo, Detective Zulo. And he investigated Obama for fabricating his birth certificate and passing that out. Oh, that's where Obama is really stupid. He was stupid in a lot of things, but he talked so smooth and smells so smart. But that's how sheep and wolf clothing talk. And they investigated it, and they proved that he fabricated that. If he had done nothing, he'd have been okay. Just stick with the lie that I was born in Hawaii. But they proved that he fabricated that document. Then he never shut up. He would never say anything about it because he knew, and the people with him knew that he was a had lad. But of course, nobody filed charges. Nobody would take the evidence from Arpaio. And I was there with him on a press conference, and he showed us the evidence at one of our CSPOA conferences in Missouri. He showed it to us. We know for a fact that this was a lie. Where do we go with this? You have your sheriff start investigating political corruption. And they can do that. Right now we have a investigation that was done by Sheriff Mark Lamb right here in Pinal County, Arizona, against Mayorkas for the crimes he committed against America with his illegal immigration crap. Mm. And the county attorney didn't move on it. But we had a sheriff that did his job. What if we had 1,000 sheriffs? And there's 3,086 sheriffs in America. What if we had 1,000 investigating corruption in Washington, D.C. or in the state capitol? We wouldn't have had this Minnesota thing happen because we would have already been on top of this. We wouldn't have all the corruption and the spending and the illegal aliens. Right now, the Attorney General of Washington State is suing a sheriff and attacking the sheriff. Why? Because he's helping with deportation, doing his job. That's how crazy this is, and that's why we're going there.
Adam, come on in, Adam. Excuse me.
Thanks, Coach.
But wait, well, wait. But I want to make sure I answered that question. You start with your sheriff and make sure he gets educated and that he starts doing the investigation so that there is accountability.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Go ahead, Adam.
Thank you, Sheriff, for all that you're doing. I just have a quick question. What do you do if you live in an area like where I live in Pennsylvania? We don't have a sheriff's department. I mean, heck, I don't even have a local police department. They're only there until like 2 o'clock, I think, 3 days a week, and the rest of the week we're governed by the state police.
Yeah, that's actually a bigger problem in Pennsylvania than you might realize. The sheriffs are elected in Pennsylvania, but the state legislature took away their power to arrest and to investigate. That was a huge mistake. They've done that in Delaware, Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, and I think Rhode Island. So I think there's four of them. There's three states that don't have sheriffs. With a huge mistake, Alaska and Hawaii never formed the office when they came into the Union in 1959. You'd think they would, because the sheriff was the first law enforcement officer in America. Even before we were a country, there were sheriffs.
Matt Dillon.
And then Connecticut voted the office out 30 years ago. So we're fighting tooth and nail to keep the sheriffs, elected, not appointed, like Washington State's trying to do statewide. And that's why we're going to Washington. Mr. Mack goes to Washington.
Dr. Paul Goslin, come in. By the way, Sheriff, Dr. Paul, who's the next guy coming in here, boy, does he have a story of being shot up. Well, I'll connect you two guys so you can have a discussion about what the police did to this medical doctor. Come on in, Paul.
I have to apologize to the sheriff because I was on Carrie Made's show and probably quite rude because I was kind of pissed off about sheriffs.
I get pissed off of sheriffs quite a bit too.
Well, I guess my point is medicine created the customers for opiate addiction, okay? Abortion, yes, and every other demonic thing that the powers of our medical system, just to keep that in mind. So the internal struggle should be here in the United States. And I was just thinking about Tucker Carlson. He came out with a great expose on that massive shooting in Arizona that has never come to attrition. So I'm just curious. I'll post it here. I don't know. Remember, it's 89 Christians were killed in Vegas, and nobody ever came to the point of what happened, what occurred, or what was the justice. There was no justice. And it just seems to me that this is where we are now. We don't really know what's going on in this country.
Well, look at the assassination we just saw 3 months ago in Utah of Charlie Kirk. Yeah. That hasn't been investigated properly. That's where I started my police career, was in that county, Utah County. I was a cop with Provo Police Department for almost 12 years. I'm not going to get into that except for one thing. It's a proven fact, and it was reported by the Salt Lake Tribune in Salt Lake City. I think it's the biggest newspaper in Utah. And it showed a picture of the crime scene at the UVU, Utah Valley University. And it showed that they had paved over the crime scene where the tent was. And that was just 3 days after the murder. Somebody destroyed the crime scene, covered up evidence, and the defense attorney for Robinson should be saying, how can I go over all this evidence when the state has already covered up the crime scene? She should be able to go through that. And I think she's like totally paid off too, because she's not going to bring up any of this stuff. She's not really going to defend him. And I so want to go talk and interview
Sheriff,
this Robinson
fellow. Let me ask you this question, Sheriff. So how would the feds, if you were the local sheriff here in Licking County, Ohio, and you discovered something they really didn't want exposed, how would the feds bring pressure on you, Sheriff, to shut your mouth?
Well, I don't know if the feds need to, but because we the people need to. They work for us.
I understand that. But we see some of these sheriffs just don't say anything about it. Somebody's bringing pressure on them.
Well, well, first of all, I will say most of it's through ignorance or selfishness. You have to understand a lot of sheriffs don't want to get involved with this. You know the number one reason why sheriffs don't want to become constitutional is because they want to protect their next election and protect their pension.
Yep.
It's all selfishness. Okay. Yeah. Look, I didn't get a pension. I stayed 8 years as sheriff. They sent me packing because of my fight against the Clinton administration. I lost my election right after that. I don't care. God is good. And God has taken care of us. Okay. And I'm not going to compromise the liberty of the people in my county so that I can have
retirement.
I was going to give some adjective to the retirement, to that blessed little retirement that they sell their souls for. Amen. I'm never going to be part of that. And these sheriffs have got to wake up, and the only way they're going to wake up is if their constituents wake them up. And that's why, folks, you've got to get involved. It can't just be one, quote, crazy person here and there. It's got to be a bunch of you.
Amen.
And the sheriff will listen if it
Chad, come on in, Sheriff. Chad's a former Texas, whatever the heck they call those, yeah. Texas trooper. Come on in, Chad.
All right. Hey, Sheriff, good to talk to you again. Got a couple points. I think, too, the sheriffs, many of them allow themselves to be controlled because they apply for federal grants. And if they rock
the boat. We talk about that, too. We do training on that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The other thing is, when I was working, the first document I signed when I arrived in my area was that I would not enforce illegal immigration. And because it's a federal offense, it's not a state or a county. And how do you combat that? You know?
Wow.
Well, you can help with deportation regardless of if there's local law, and they can make local laws about that. And in fact, Arizona has. And so it's not just owned by the federal government. But right now, we have really pushed for the sheriffs of this country to help with deportation. And there's this 287G plan to recruit and train sheriffs and other local law enforcement nationwide so that they can help with deportation. And why do we want to? Because this is the worst criminal element, and it was all brought to us by the Biden administration and the Democrat Party. And they still want to defend having all these criminals and gangs and cartels in their communities.
Amen.
Because they got to stick to the plan to get them all registered to vote.
Ricky Blackburn, come on in, Ricky.
Good morning, Sheriff and Dave. Sheriff, could you speak to what happened with William Cooper out there in Apache County right after 9/11?
Boy, howdy, that's a long time ago. I knew Bill, and I never did get, I called the sheriff of that community and talked to him about the investigation. I never got into it enough to where I could really give you a definitive answer. All I know is that it didn't appear to me to be a justified shooting, and I knew Bill, and he was a good man. That's the real conclusion of it. But boy, you're talking about 25 years ago.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. Sheriff, let's regroup here a second, okay? There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Everybody knows that the legal system screwed up. We all understand it. Give us the 1, 2, 3s of what we need to do here, Sheriff. Like, you got your rally going on. But the average guy right now, when we hang up from this show, say, "Dadgone it, I'm going to do something about it." What's step number one that the average guy has to do, Sheriff?
Number one is you've got to be educated. What did Jefferson say? If you expect to be ignorant and free, you expect what never was and what never will be. Mm. Folks, you have to know what's going on. First, you have to know and understand God's law. You have to know and understand the Constitution. And then you have to spread this with your neighbors and your public servants. And that's why this would be a tremendous tool, folks. This is a highlighted version. This is a review of my Supreme Court case. It's the most powerful 10th Amendment decision. You want to get these and pass them out. Look, it's about the same size as the pocket constitution.
Are they on your website, Sheriff? Are they on your
website? They're on our website on the front page. It shows me holding them, and they are. And you get three of these for $5. Okay, so there's not. This isn't. I'm not making money off of this. Okay,
it doesn't matter if you are. I don't care if you are making money.
Well, yeah. I mean, we certainly want to pay for these for the next printing.
Right.
There it is. There's the book. And that's my hand holding it. And order dozens of those and pass them around to your friends and say, look what miracle happened because a sheriff sued the Clinton administration and won. And then you want to hand these out to your sheriffs and your county commissioners and your county attorney. Ask your county attorney, should local law enforcement enforce and obey this Supreme Court decision? The only time in U.S. history where sheriffs sued the federal government and won. This is a great tool for freedom to do exactly what you're saying, Dave. So first of all, we have to be familiar with this case. We have to be familiar with the Constitution. And we have to get to know our sheriff and make sure that he gets trained. If you are working together with your sheriff to do that, and we get him to unify with other sheriffs in the state and in his area to uphold and defend and protect and preserve the Constitution as he promised to do, but we have got to make sure that the sheriffs understand their role. Just as I said in that little video, they have to know and understand their role, Sheriff, in the defense of our republic.
Let me back you up a second, Sheriff. So your Supreme Court case, what was the question at the Supreme Court and how did they answer the question?
Very good. Very powerful. We maintained that the federal government could not commandeer the office of sheriff for federal bidding. In other words, take over the sheriffs and say, this is what you'll do from now on. We have the authority to tell you what to do. They have none. The sheriff reports to you. Can the federal government hire me? No. Can they fire me? No. Can they tell me what to do? No. They come into my county. You better believe your sheriff has the authority to tell them what to do because they have very limited power, just as we mentioned, the five authorities in law enforcement. And it's our job to check and balance to make sure they're doing their jobs right and that they don't go to the wrong home and that they don't violate the rights of the people. That's what we're here for.
Sheriff, what do you
suppose? And it's not going to hurt them.
What do you suppose the percentage of sheriffs who understand that, what you just told us? Do most of them understand
about,
that?
It's not even 10% yet. And folks, if I could ever get funded, if we could ever really get this movement funded, I want to have one national meeting. Like we'll have 10 sheriffs there this weekend. Okay. I want to have a national meeting where we actually pay a stipend to every sheriff who attends and we'll get 1,000 sheriffs in one meeting and we'll teach them all of this stuff about my decision, about their oath of office, about the Constitution, about their obligation to protect the rights of the people and serve the people in their communities. If we could have that in one, we could make a huge difference in just a matter of a day or two. Folks, time is of the essence. We need that to happen. Now, Coach, do you want me to tell you how much that meeting would cost?
Yes, sir.
We will pay for their flights. We will pay for their hotel. We will pay for their food. And we'll drop a $2,000 check on them when they leave. That will cost over $3 million. And you know, when you in the grand scheme of things, okay, we put up $3 million to really change the face and backdrop of our country and take it from the horrible division, divisiveness, and tyranny that we're facing now and put it back where we take back our country county by county.
Okay,
and
so
you can have a constitutional county right where you live.
Here's old Gene Schroeder sitting out in the cornfields of, I think you're in Wisconsin, aren't you, Gene? Whatever. Sitting out in the middle of nowhere, and he's pounding his fists on the table saying, damn it, I've had enough. What does he need to do? What does he need to do, Sheriff?
Okay, first go to our website, become a member of our posse, and then come to our training every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we do an hour training to make sure that you know what to do to work with your sheriff and get other people to work with you. And really, that's it. It's grassroots, folks. And the Founding Fathers warned us that the price of liberty was eternal vigilance. We have to be involved. We can't watch it stand by on the parade and wave and watch the parade go by. We have to be involved. And it doesn't take that much time, folks. Okay? A couple hours a week. If you want to do more, great. You can. But we've got to be involved. If you're not involved, and I don't just mean that you're responding to an abuse from some cop or deputy. No, that's just response. We've got to be proactive. We've got to be in charge of this movement. We've got to make it happen. And your sheriff is the most important, vital part of it. We hope we get some county commissioners. We do in where we're going in Puyallup, Washington this weekend. We got county commissioners involved. We got our local sheriffs involved. But we have got to, the American people have got to be involved. Again, any of you close to that, even if you're not close, you need to come to that.
So Sheriff, our buddy Chad, who was the cop, former cop, he made a statement that is so true, is nobody cares about smashing mailboxes until it's their mailbox, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, nobody gets involved in this, and then somebody gets involved, they get screwed, and there's nobody to help them. And that's really what we're dealing with, isn't it? Eileen, come on in.
It's your country that's dying, folks. It's your country, and it's the future of your children and grandchildren. That's what we're doing here.
All right. We got an attorney up in Michigan. Come on in, Eileen.
Good morning.
Some of them are good. Some of them are good.
Well, I escaped the system. Good morning, Sheriff Mack. When you were here in St. Clair County, and we attempted to set up a meeting. Well, we did set up a meeting with you and our sheriff, Matt mm-hmm. King, and he came kicking and screaming. But I guess he did meet with you for breakfast, mm-hmm. and you even invited him to D.C.
Not D.C., Washington State. I need to, and in fact, I have not been able to reach him on that, but we wanted him to come to this meeting in Washington State.
Well, he's a little busy right now because he's being sued by a lieutenant who was forced to retire over allegations of corruption and misconduct and illegal activity when his brother, who's also a deputy, got arrested for super drunk driving. And so he's a little busy right now, but we have a meeting tonight. And we will be addressing it because my goal and what I will be presenting tonight are all the deposition testimonies of the other deputies, commanders that were on duty that night and also were involved in the cover-up. But we're going to go, our goal is to go get everybody together and go to the prosecutor. And, file our complaints.
I think your sheriff's a decent man and he's doable. He's workable. He's a possibility.
Okay. If you, I'll let him know you said that.
Yeah, he is.
He's doable.
Okay. Sheriff, 2-minute warning here live. Okay. Walk us through it again. What is it you need us to do, Sheriff?
Well, everybody here can make a donation. And that would be wonderful.
They can join hey, for
if you know where we can really get funding, let's everybody help fundraise us. We are the most powerful cause in America and probably the worst funded one. Okay. And I know I've been called to this. There's no question about that. We'll get into that miracle another day. But just know that my wife and I have dedicated our lives to this. Okay. This is what we do full time. Full time, more than full time. This is our lives. And I travel all over the country and I do 40 to 50 podcasts and webinars and TV and radio interviews every month, plus all the travel and working with people and working with sheriffs. Folks, we need the donations and we bless each other with that. We also need the funding for this event this week. We have these events every year. Every year we've done over 20 of them. And then we do seminars. We've done over hundreds of them. And every time I just say, I know we'll get funding somehow. And we live on faith. And that's what we do because we're doing the Lord's work and we're saving our country. Next, join our posse, become part of our posse, become part of our organization. Then when you go talk to your sheriff, say, I'm with the CSPOA. I'm with the constitutional sheriffs. We're part of their posse. We want to get you trained, Sheriff. We want to help you. We want to work with you.
Hang in there, Sheriff. We've got an after show. Folks, support Sheriff Mack and his work. Don't go anywhere, Sheriff. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.